North America, Australia, Africa, and of course Asia. We have actually attenders from four continents of the world. Perhaps a record of sorts for our church. And so let me therefore preach in English. It's not very common, but I'll do it for today because of our international congregation this morning. You know, one of the things that I read in CNN recently is this. December 20, 2017, tiny tots or tiny children with their eyes all aglow are now relishing or eagerly awaiting holiday celebrations around the world. Do you know why? Why they are eagerly awaiting? Why they're all excited about the holiday celebrations? Well, according to CNN, children will look for presents from Santa Claus under the trees and treats in their stockings. Excited? Eagerly awaiting? Not because of the Lord Jesus Christ, but because of Santa Claus. And therefore, I think it's appropriate for us to remember why we have Christmas. So please turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and following. Luke chapter 2, 8 up to 15. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and following. And in the same region, there were shepherds. This is in Bethlehem, after the birth of our Lord Jesus in the manger. There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, indeed how blessed we are that your Son came, became a baby, dwelt among us, died and paid for our sins. And now, O Lord, may you speak to us through your word and remind us of these very things. Show us your glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to this primer for tourists coming to the Philippines, 10 reasons why you should spend Christmas in the Philippines. 10 reasons why you should spend Christmas in the Philippines. Number one, longest Christmas season. Okay. When birth starts, you know it's Christmas. Simbang gabi, number two. Number three, caroling. Number four, gift-giving tradition. Number five, Christmas parties. Next, Christmas songs, holiday dishes, Christmas attractions, events, and celebrations. And finally, shopping events and bazaars. Those are the reasons why you should come to the Philippines for Christmas. Now, for sure, our beloved family and brethren are not here this Christmas because of these things, right? But this is the world. They think of Christmas as parties, as food, as bazaars, as shopping. Gone and is missing is the very heart of Christmas, the Lord Jesus. And so we turn to Luke today, and remembering that Luke, a faithful storyteller, and in his gospel, Luke tells us, and the very overarching theme of this book or this gospel is salvation. Salvation. God's action to restore God's people, Jesus coming to announce and make plain God's royal rule and appeal to God's people to welcome and align themselves with God's saving agenda. That, according to the Bible dictionary, is the purpose of Luke. And in the passage we read, just read today, this is the message I want you to see. Because Jesus became man, or Jesus became a man, we should be amazed at God's grace that saves. Because Jesus became a man, because Jesus was incarnated and became a baby, we should be amazed at God's grace that saves. Now, what do we see in Luke's account of his incarnation? What amazes us as we read the account of his incarnation? Two things, brothers and sisters, two things. First, we are amazed at his lowliness. At his lowliness. Na nagpakababa ang ating Panginoong Jesus. At his lowliness. Notice first of all, the announcement of his birth. The announcement of his birth. Now normally, if royalty is coming, normally if a king or queen is will have a baby, there will be a grand announcement. And in fact, just recently, there was this news item in a newspaper from England. It says, royal baby, Prince William shares his joy over Kate Middleton expecting third child despite anxious start to pregnancy. So just the announcement that she was pregnant was front page news. In fact, soon after, another newspaper said, royal baby on the way. When is Kate Middleton and Prince William's baby due? Third royal baby birth date predictions and name rumors revealed. There are rumors and predictions about when the baby will come because he or she is a royal baby. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, look at verse 8. How was the birth announced to the world? How was it announced? Verse 8. And in the same region, there were what? Shepherds. Shepherds out in the field watching, keeping watch over their flock by night. Totally, these shepherds were clueless as to what's happening. And so by God's sovereign grace, he sent an angel to the shepherds. And, you know, of all people, shepherds. Do you know during their time what the reputation is of shepherds? Now, in our day, we associate shepherds with the coming of the Lord, the manger, Bethlehem. We think of shepherds as, you know, relaxed, easygoing type of guys, you know, watching sheep. But during their time, shepherds were despised class, of a despised class. They were looked at lowly. They were, you know, according to this account, for one thing, it's so difficult for them to observe the regulations of Moses because they're always in watching the sheep. It's so difficult for them, and especially the many, many laws associated with Moses by the Pharisees. So they were despised class. In fact, they were thought as always confusing yours with theirs. In other words, they tend to get what's yours and, you know, just get them. So they were of a despised class. They were not even allowed to give testimony in courts. They're not allowed. Their testimony is totally invalid in courts. So these are the very same people to whom the angel was sent. Now that's amazing. The birth of the God of the universe, the second person of the Trinity, it should have been announced in Rome. It should have been announced to all the kings in China, in Rome, in Africa, wherever they may be. But it was announced to a despised, downtrodden, totally outcast group of people, the shepherds. Not only that, secondly, Look at the circumstances surrounding his birth. Look at the circumstances surrounding his birth. Verse 12, and this will be a sign for you, you shepherds. This will be a sign, or the sign. This is what you should look for. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's ordinary. Nothing strange about that. But the next part, and lying in a manger. Lying in a manger. Now, usually when someone important comes, there is a big banner saying, welcome. I mean, diba? It's true even in our day. When the mayor is coming, there is a big tarpaulin, diba? Saying, welcome, mayor. But here, in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sign is what? A baby in a manger. A manger or a stable, the place where they put the animals because there was no room for the inn. Now, some are saying Joseph is not that poor because probably he can afford to go to the inn. And the only reason why they were not in the inn was because there was no room for them in the inn. So, again, let's not think that they don't even have money for the inn. They probably have some money because, well, Joseph was a carpenter, right? So they probably had money, but there was no room for the inn. And therefore, the baby Jesus was in a manger. Try to imagine that. He, according to this account, who holds everything in his power, he who created the universe and sustains the universe, that's what we heard from Pastor Ish last Sunday as well. But he, the baby Jesus, lying in a manger, he humbled himself. And that's what we see here. But lastly, and finally, thirdly, not only the way the birth was announced, not only the circumstances around that birth, but the very fact that he was born at all. That's amazing. That he was born at all. The great historic doctrine of the church is the Son of God became a real man. And that's the most amazing thing. That's the most amazing thing. According to Harold Best, the only difference was that Jesus did his learning and growing and maturing sinlessly and perfectly, but this does not mean he was an instant learner. He became a real baby. He learned how to talk. Try to imagine that. He learned how to use his hands. We have so many babies around here in our church building, and Jesus was like that. He did not fake it. Because sometimes we think, anyway, he knows everything. Surely it's a breeze to be a baby. Well, did he really cry for milk? For sure he did. Did he really try to learn how to grasp and how to use his hands? Did he learn how to walk? In a hard-to-believe way and in a very mysterious way, he was God, and yet, he was also truly man and therefore truly baby. So, you know, when he was born, he placed the exercise of all his all-powerfulness, his omnipotence, his all-presence, his all-knowingness, omniscience, under the direction of God the Father. Again, that's the mystery that is beyond our understanding. How can it be that the God of the universe, how can it be that he who created us and sustains the universe, how can it be that he can be a baby with all the powerlessness associated with being a baby? And so that's the most amazing thing, brothers and sisters. And so what is the application for us this morning? Well, let's just be amazed at the humiliation and lowliness of Jesus. Let's just be amazed. You know, I like how Pastor Ish put it, quoting Romans 8:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom of God. And did you remember how he translated that? How he translated, oh? He used, wow! And that's it. That's what he is saying. Oh, the depth of the riches. In our language, siguro ngayon, kung tayo yung naandun, we would have said, wow! What an amazing riches and depth. And that is the same thing that we can We can see here with what happened to the Lord Jesus. As we contemplate how His birth was announced, it could have been announced to all the kings of the world. How, you know, the surroundings of His birth, He could have been born in the best hospital in the land. And even most amazingly, how God will allow Himself to become like a creature and like a harmless baby. There is just one word. Wow! Wow! What is this? It's totally amazing and unbelievable. And J.I. Packer put it this way, and I'm quoting from Packer, it is here, according to him, in the thing that happened at the first Christmas that the most profound, unfathomable depths of the Christian revelation lie. God became man. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of the incarnation. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as this truth of incarnation. And why did He do this? Why did He become a baby? Of course, because He loves us. Because He loved us. Loved us enough to become a baby. Loved us enough to be part of this sinful, evil, wicked generation, that He can give Himself on the cross for you and me. For you and me. That is why we have Christmas. For the Son of God to come and for Him to give Himself, to offer Himself, that sinners like you and me will have eternal life. That is the amazing thing. And that is why Christmas is so amazing. But not only that, not only His humiliation, next, look as well at His glory. And again, you see this paradox. Humiliation, but in the same announcement, we see His glory. And how do we see His glory? Where do we see His glory? First, in who He is. Who is Jesus? Verse 11. For unto you, according to Luke, is born this day, the angel talking to the shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This is the only time that that phrase is used in the scriptures. Christ the Lord. Now the word Christ, we know that as the Greek for the anointed one. And the Hebrew equivalent is Messiah. Same meaning, the anointed one. There were many anointed ones during the time. The kings were anointed, the priests were anointed. But in a very special way, the Jews of that time know that God has promised a very special, the anointed one. The person who will be the specially anointed one. And the a person who will be the deliverer, the Savior. But not only that, Christ, on one hand, the anointed one, the Messiah, the anointed one, but side by side, the Lord. The Lord. Kurios. Now, that word, the Lord, is used by the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, to refer to Jehovah. The name of Jehovah is also the Lord. Jehovah. Same word. And so here we see that the title of Supreme Being, Jehovah Himself, the Covenant God, the Faithful God, the God who is so faithful to Israel, the I Am, who is I Am, the God who is eternal from the past to the present, all the way to the future, that same Jehovah is here in this baby. I'll try to, just try to think about it. Jehovah Himself, He will be called Christ the Lord. And simply what He is saying is Emmanuel, God with us. It's the fulfillment of the prophecy, Emmanuel, God with us. And that is what the angel is saying to them. You know, shepherds, you realize that that baby in the manger is Christ. Jehovah Himself. And so that is the glory of this baby. We see the baby and people see the baby and they think of, you know, a harmless, totally helpless baby. And in a sense, that's right. As a man, he was that. But at the same time, the way it was announced gives us a sense of the glory of this baby, that he is no ordinary baby. He is God himself in person. Now, what mystery is that? God is with man, Emmanuel. But secondly, the glory of the Lord is also seen in what he will do. Verses 10 and 11, in what he will do. Now, what will he do? In verse 10, and the angel said to them, to the shepherds, fear not. Now, of course, they were naturally fearful. Imagine an angel in all his brightness just appearing before them. But the angel said, fear not. I bring you good news of great joy. Good news, great joy. Sounds familiar? Good news? Yeah, good news. You know, euangelizo. Euangelizo. Where we get, of course, the word good news to proclaim the good news, the evangel, the gospel. I bring you good news. And what is the good news? Verse 11, for unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior. That is the good news. And that is the glory of this baby. He is not just an ordinary baby. He was anointed. He was destined before time to come. And when he comes, you know what he will do? He will save. You shall call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that is what we will, that's what he will do. And that is why there's great joy in this announcement. There's rejoicing. God himself has sent his son. God himself is in his son as the second person of the Trinity. And he will save not just the Jews, not just the shepherds, but for all the people. For all the people of the world. And finally and lastly, it's so glorious because of the events surrounding his birth. Again, the events surrounding his birth. And again, we see this paradox. There's great humiliation. But on the other hand, there's glory here. As if heaven cannot contain the glory that this baby has. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And as that angel appeared to them, the glory of the Lord shone around them. And that is why they were filled with great fear. As, try to imagine that. All of a sudden, an angel. Now, that in itself is, well, frightening, right? But not only that, at the same time, the glory of the Lord shone around them. You can just imagine the brightness of that glory. A person who has seen that glory many times thought he will die. That's what happened to Isaiah, right? They thought they will die. So these shepherds saw this brightness all over them. And then after the announcement, read down to verse 13 and 14. And suddenly, again, only one angel, there was brightness all around. But after the announcement of that one angel, verse 9, or verse 13, and suddenly there was with that angel, just one angel before, a multitude of the heavenly host. In other words, well, a host is an army, right? But this army is not there to fight or to kill, but a host is multitude, thousands upon thousands of angels. And praising God and saying, so imagine, not just one angel here, glory of God is there, it's so bright, all of a sudden, with that angel. Now that angel was very close to them. So before I was thinking the angel was in heaven, or the glory appeared somewhere very far, but here it appears that they could have been just sort of in front of them. So these few shepherds, imagine them, out there in the field, watching over the sheep. One angel frightening, the glory of God. What is this? But then all of a sudden, the whole, as it were, heaven opened, and the host, heavenly host, shouting and praising and singing, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among those whom He is pleased. And these angels try to put yourself in their shoes, if they have shoes. I don't know if angels have shoes. Okay. Now we know that the seraphim have six wings, flying and covering their face. But maybe, just maybe, and again, this is just a guess, maybe they knew a bit of what's happening here from observing from heaven. They knew what happened to man when they fell into sin. They knew perhaps that the plan of God is approaching with all the announcements coming. Perhaps they knew that something big will happen. And all of a sudden, a baby and Jesus, the second person, is that baby. And if you are an angel worshiping Jesus before in heaven and now seeing that same Jesus on earth as a baby, what would you feel? So these angels were so totally thrilled and so perhaps excited that the plan of God is moving, salvation is happening, and maybe they didn't know that it will involve the Son becoming a baby. And so there were those angels worshiping that God in heaven. All of a sudden, that God is now on earth. And now, they cannot contain themselves. They're so thrilled. They're so full of praise. And so God allowed the shepherds to see the heavenly host. They were singing praises to this baby. What an amazing, totally unbelievable sight greeted these shepherds. And so what is the application to us, brothers, sisters? Well, first, let's just see the glory of Jesus in the incarnation. Let's see the glory of Jesus. People see their lowliness. There's nothing perhaps special about that to a lot of people. They see Him becoming a baby. They see Him in a manger. They see His lowliness. But in the same account is His glory. Again, J.I. Packer said, and a quote from him, "The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets. Nothing in fiction is so fantastic." Sorry, I just quoted that earlier. But that's exactly the point. This baby is the God of glory. The God of glory. This baby who learned how to talk, who learned how to use his hands and his feet, is the same God that angels are worshiping, hosts and multitudes of them worshiping Him. And so as we celebrate Christmas, if you will celebrate Christmas tomorrow, do not just be immersed with the parties. Do not just enjoy the food. Do not just enjoy the company of loved ones. They're all good. There's nothing wrong with food, good food. But think of the glory of the Lord Jesus. Remember who He is. Remember who is that baby. Meditate on the very glory of that Jesus because of who He is and what He will do for us and what He has done for us. But then secondly and lastly, let's also see here the good news for us. That's the point of the angels also. It's good news. Let us be reminded that salvation is present now in our midst. Salvation is now being offered because the Son came. He lived perfectly. He died on the cross to pay for the sins of all who will believe in Him. And so if I am talking to someone who may not have yet surrendered your life to the Lord, if I'm talking to someone who has seen Christmas after Christmas after Christmas, but yet has not bowed down to His Lordship, I hope now you will see your sinfulness. I hope now you will come in repentance and turn your back to your sins and embrace this Jesus who came in spite of His glory in heaven and became a baby, a helpless baby, that He could pay for the sins of sinners like you. May now be the time, may the goodness of God lead you to repentance and that you come and embrace the Jesus. But if you are a believer in Christ, what is our response? Well, the angel said, joy, joy for the earth, to the earth, to the peoples of the earth, to all peoples of the earth. Great joy because of this good news. And that should be our response. Corrie Ten Boom has this to say about Christmas. She said, "Who can add to Christmas? The perfect motive is that God so loved the world. The perfect gift is that He gave His only Son. The only requirement is to believe in Him. The reward of faith is that you shall have everlasting life." And that is the good news. That is the evangel. That's why we are proclaiming the good news to all of you, because Jesus has come. And because He has come, eternal life is within reach of everyone. Jesus, when he came on earth as a baby, we see His humiliation, but we see as well His glory. These two things we see both at the same time. You know, in December 1903, the Wright brothers, they were trying to fly, the first persons ever to fly. And finally, they succeeded. In December 1903, they finally succeeded. And so they were so excited, they sent a telegram to their sister. And the telegram says, very, of course, excitedly, they sent a telegram to their sister, Catherine. "We have flown 120 feet, well, 40 meters. We have flown about 40 meters. We'll be home for Christmas. We'll be home for Christmas." And so Catherine very excitedly brought the telegram to the editor of the local newspaper, right? It's big news, right? So he brought it to the editor. And when the editor read the telegram, the editor said, "How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas." That's it. How nice. The boys will be home for Christmas. He missed the message. It's not that they will be home for Christmas, but that they flew. That for the first time, man has flown. And you know, that is what's happening today. So many people, this time it's the other way around. They celebrate Christmas. They think people will be home for Christmas. They rejoice over reunions and parties and food and bazaars and shopping. But they didn't get it. They don't get it. That the real message of Christmas is that Emmanuel, God with us, the Son has come. The Son of David has come. Salvation is happening and will be completed when He will die on the cross. And so what is our response, brothers and sisters? What should be our response? The angel said it. We bring great, great news of great joy. And so our response should be joy. And whenever you're joyful, whenever you feel this joy in your hearts, what do you want to do? You want to sing. So let's sing a song. Let's sing a hymn. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. That is a proper response as we remember the coming of the Lord Jesus. Tayo tumayo sa ating pag-awit ng awiting ito. On the first verse,
joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and sounding joy, repeat, repeat.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh, what love indeed that sent your Son. Oh, Lord Jesus, what love you showed to us that you, as the creator and sustainer of the universe, became man, became a baby, and dwelt among us. And, oh, Lord, help us in response to give our lives to you, just always to marvel and to be amazed at your glory and to serve you all the days of our lives. Remind us of this very truth and this very message of Christmas. For in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.